You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
I don't know if I really love this decision.
Over the middle, got his man, and look at him go! Jalen Waddle for the touchdown!
Welcome to Inside Leverage, your gateway to the fascinating realm of the Miami Dolphins. Join us as we delve deep into the team's dynamic Super Bowl journey. We invite you to share your most scorching takes, unwind, and relish in our captivating experience.
Tagovailoa, blocked by Armstead. Going, he's got him! He's got him! Tyreek Hill! And the Dolphins have come back! A big play on the first one! Home run! Play one! To the house! What a start for the Dolphins!
Welcome everybody to another episode of Inside Leverage Live. I am Coach, and I am joined today by the one and only Guru.
Thank you. I'm glad you got that right. Thank you.
You like that intro, right?
You carry on with Guru stuff. You carry on. I appreciate you. I like that.
Hey, man, you know, got to throw you a bone every once in a while.
First of all, stats, don't lie. They back it up. So I don't need to.
My bad. We'll be joined by Chad very shortly. But in the meantime, I want to thank everybody for tuning in. We got 61 people tuned in right now. Shout out to everybody. Thanks to all viewers and our listeners to the podcast, which is exclusively on Fans First. You can find us anywhere you listen to your podcast. On that note, let's move on a little bit here. We'll get started. Recently, we've had some news that I'm sure everybody is aware of. The Dolphins have started to, for lack of a better word, reload the gun for the 2024 season. Signing Jonnu Smith to a two-year contract, up to, which is a key word, up to $10 million, worth $10 million. Wally, do you have any initial thoughts on this signing?
Oh, yes. If you listen to Mike, and people like to hang on every word that Mike says, he said the next evolution of his offense was a tight end, correct?
That is correct.
So now he's putting foot to existence, like word to existence. Like, We need a tight end. Dorian Smythe is now nobody's worried about Dorian Smythe. And if you have a chance, just watch the Juno, like his highlights. His highlights translate so great to what we could do here. I'm not saying he's gonna be that guy freshly out of college that he was a crazy weapon, but I'm pretty sure Mike could find ways to implement him in the offense. He could do things that Cordell Patterson did. He ran the ball out of the backfield. He did a lot of things for his prior team. So he just happens to play for a terrible team. But I think he could do wonders for us. So I like the signing.
No, I do too. It's got me a little hyped. I mean, you guys know I'm a tight end guy. So we haven't had anything like that around here for a long, long time as far as the physicality, as far as the athletic ability is what I should say, not physicality. And what I like the most is that he brings speed. It's another cog in this machine. It's like you said, he's not the guy that he came out of college with, but at the combine, he ran a 4.6 when he came out. So at worst, I mean, I would see adding more pieces to the tight end room is definitely something that's a positive in my humble opinion. Definitely Mike has alluded to this. I want to say probably right after the season ended that the next evolution of this offense was going to be the involvement of the tight end. And as serviceable as Durham Smythe is, he's more suited to be a tight end two than a tight end one. I can't say as far as the contract is concerned, it's up to $10 million a year, which I'm sure is going to be full of incentives and benchmarks that he has to reach to be able to, acquire that the entire amount of the contract. But I think they're in good shape. I personally don't think that they're going to, shy away from adding another tight end maybe later in the draft. But I think the room itself has, getting Jonnu Smith in here is an upgrade. And we are graced with the presence of Mr. Tua Mesivailoa, sir. Welcome.
Yeah, man. What's good, y'all?
You tell me, bro. How you feeling about this Jonnu Smith situation?
Here's my thing, right? Like, we know that the tight ends have been lacking as far as production on our offense. We have a guy in Durham Smythe who we know is a reliable blocker. It's limited as an athlete, but still fairly reliable as a pass catcher, but not explosive, right? Same with Julian Hill, who we know can block and is developing. And I think that there's some room for him on the roster, but you were missing that dynamic aspect from that room and just overall from your third pass catcher in general. So with having a guy like Jonnu Smith in the fold, that opens up the screen play, the tight end screens, and a lot of the underneath stuff, and a guy that can get up and threaten vertically up the seams and put some pressure on these linebackers and second level and third level defenders to kind of help open things up and alleviate some of the stress and the burden that Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle have to carry on offense. So I think it's a great piece. I think it has Mike McDaniel written all over it. It seems like something he would be advocating for, and I think he has a plan for how he wants to use them, and I'm excited to see, what that looks like. He's coming off his best season last year overall. He was, I believe, second in yak yards behind George Kittle, I want to say, from the tight end position, and yeah. a great addition, man. Great addition overall. Excited about it.
Yeah, I think so too, man. Wally, have you been able to see any of his highlights recently? Are you familiar with the dimension that he'll bring to the team?
I think he can literally do. I called him. What's this guy from the Niners that he was in a combine? His name is something Clark. He played for the Niners. He could run the ball at the backfield. He could go. He could take a jet sweep. He could catch the ball. The route tree that this guy could run is. He literally runs like a 4.4 type thing. Like, he could run anything out there. So this kid he's a weapon. And for lack of a better word, he's a weapon. I haven't seen him throw touchdown passes, but I wouldn't put it past him.
Yeah, bro, like, honestly, like, let's be real. Like, after Tyreek and Waddle, we didn't have much that we could depend on offense. I'm not saying that he's going to be the guy to, be the next George Kittle or any of that stuff. I know people are kind of like feel like he's not that great of an addition, or kind of what the wait and see approach. But I think with his skill set, it fits in what we're trying to do on offense. And I think there's room for a guy like him. And I'm sure Mike McDaniel is willing to take full advantage of his skill set, bro. Like, I'm excited, bro, about the possibilities of Jonnu.
Nah, I'm glad you're not the only one, man. I'm geek about this. And also, for what I was thinking about, you know, we talk about, and there's been a lot of talk about getting a third, you know, a third option. I think you guys talked about it earlier. Why can't it be the tight end? Why does it, you know, some people are like, you know, I wouldn't say focused on or obsessed with getting a third wide receiver. Third option could be a tight end. And maybe he can fit that role. We'll see. I think he's athletic enough to do that.
And I don't know if you necessarily want him shouldering the load of being the third option solely, but he can help in that regard. You know what I mean? Because we need weapons, bro. And in New England, he was a guy that was paired with a Hunter Henry, and they were using a lot of 12 personnel looks and things like that. That's going to open up that door for us, because we ran well out of 12 personnel. But when we were in 12 personnel, based on our personnel that we had available to us, we didn't have the tight ends that could threaten in the pass game. Jonnu allows you, while in 12, to still have that vertical and seam threat that you can do a variety of different things with. Tyler DeShauna, he was talking about how we use a lot of looks where we have, you know, five wide receiver looks, where we have our tight ends and running backs on the outside, and you have Tyreek and Waddle in the slot, and allows them to get those matchup against the linebackers and safeties. So I think that's something that he can even allow you to do. And then you could even throw some screens and build on the packages out of those looks and do all type of different things, man. So it just opens up more possibilities with these guys and their skill sets that they bring to the offense.
No, I agree. Wally, did you have you seen, you're pivoting away from John O. Smith signing, have you seen any of the, I'm sure both of you have, and I'm sure our viewers have seen as well, this whole situation with ex Xavier Howard when he went on local radio down here and the interview that he had?
Man, I just saw that he said the door is closed. And to be completely honest, this has been the worst. He's handled this the worst way I've ever seen a Dolphin go. Because to be honest with you, we weren't bad to X. Were we bad people to X?
No, I don't think so.
We took good care of him.
Yeah, bro. And I don't like the way he's been acting towards the team. I hope that there's nothing underneath that doesn't come to the light that gives him a validity. Because this guy is like, he's a D-back, dude. Like, come on, man. We paid you. We paid you, and you were out here spreading STDs, bro, and getting jammed up. The most your biggest play in the past 2 years has been beating a court case of STDs. Cuz, stop playing.
No, Chad, you want to chime in here?
I mean, I just find it interesting that he would say that the door is closed and this, this, and that. Like, why would you want the door to be closed? You should, like, I feel like, you know what I mean? I felt there was a little bitterness in him saying that, because why would you want to eliminate an option immediately? Wouldn't you want teams outside to think that there might be a chance that you can go back, so they got to come correct or whatever? Like, I don't know, whatever. Maybe he doesn't think like that. Maybe he doesn't care. Honestly, I don't care. I don't know why people are making such a big deal about it. I get it. He was a prominent player on the team that had some comments to make about the GM saying that the door would still be open. And he said that they never had those conversations. And according to Omar Kelly, there was no long, drawn out, you know, back and forth conversation where they reminisced and all that. It was a 90-second conversation. You know what I mean? And it ended and went like that. So if that's what happened, and Chris Greer saying something else, like, it's, I mean, at the end of the day, bro, like, it's all GM talk. I feel like at the end of the day, people are looking for reasons to villainize Miami Dolphins in general, and especially a guy like Chris Greer, because, you know, as the general manager here, he don't have the most fans. So I think people are just reaching, honestly, on this whole thing. It's not a big deal to me. I really don't care. But
no, it's definitely, I think, like, Chris has a lot, you know, in common with Tua, that he's a lightning rod, and there's, you know, he has his attractors. There's people who support him vehemently. There's people who criticize him vehemently, no matter what he does. And that's fine. I mean, you have every right to fan and have your opinion. That's why we are in the country that we are. But you know, I think the truth kind of lands in the middle somewhere, with most of these, you know, most of this commentary. So I think the biggest thing that bothered me about the X stuff was the fact that he said that he wants to join a team that's going to make a playoff run. That to me it sounded like sour grapes. It was a little bit of a shot. Cause I mean, it's well known that, you know, we're a team that's on the rise. Yeah. There things have to be done and things have to fall right and injuries and whatnot, but you know, we're not in the rebuild mode. We're not, you know, we're not in that situation where you're just going to waste the last years that you have left. So that, to me, that definitely was a shot.
To be fair to X, we haven't had a lot of success during his tenure as a Miami Dolphin. He got here in 2016.
Correct.
Yeah, the playoffs in 2016, and then the first time when McDaniel just got here. So he went years without even in between in his prime and his best years of football, in which he wasn't actually able to use those skills and abilities in playoff moments and things like that. And we know what happened with them last year. So he really didn't get an opportunity again. But I mean, bro, go get your money, bro. Go wherever you what. I wish him the best, bro. I have no ill will, no ill feelings toward him. If he has them towards the franchise or whatever, for being let go, whatever, I'm sure he has his reasons. And I'm sure they're great reasons. And I wish him the best and wish him the most success. And maybe one day he'll be a Ring of Honor or not, or at least a guy that can be on the radio. Listen to that.
Hey, listen. I gotta make an announcement. We have a guest that was not expecting today. Junior Finns McKenna, thank you for joining the show. Appreciate it, my boy.
Well, clean.
Look at you looking clean.
Yeah, man. You know, had the yacht outfit on real quick.
Yo.
Why am I off the show?
Because you dropped. You got that Mint Mobile connection.
Nah, don't. You dropped me off the show.
I did not. I don't start accusing bro. People.
This guy. Oh,
there goes Xavier Howard. There goes Xavier Howard.
You see how he don't know how to use the soundboard? He used the soundboard and I got dropped.
You're not that guy, pal. Trust me. Come on, X.
Come on, X. Don't drop the show now.
Trust me. You're not that guy.
Don't drop the show. You know I'm the show. Stop playing. Junior, nice for you to join us after your yacht trip, sir.
Hey, why are you hating on the man? Let him live.
I'm just glad he joined us. I'm elated.
Man, come on. I know you, man.
I am elated that he's here to join us
on the show. Hold on. Hey, Chad, you're muted.
I was saying, you just got to let Junior be great, man. That boy's like a young Isaac Hayes. You see him?
Hey, hold on. This deserves a solo layout, boy. Look at this man.
That
sheen off the head. Look at that sheen, boy.
That boy, he put that Afro seed on his
Oh, man.
How you feeling, Junior? How you feeling about the Xavier Howard situation that everyone's discussing? What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, it is what it is, you know. Whole lot of back and forth shade, but at the end of the day, man, there's you know, he understood that he did what was best for him, and you know. That's all I can say, man. You know, we said some things. He said some things. It is what it is. You know, I wish him the best of luck against a step against us, and hope that he succeeds and hope he finds that that playoff run that he's looking for. Just you know, just know when it's against us, it's an automatic loss. So
I hope he's healthy for it. I hope he's healthy.
Yeah, man. That's it. That's all you can ask for.
Chad, you muted again.
Tyreek and Waddle now. Buckle up, my boy.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. I was thinking about the same thing.
Hope the hamstrings stay healthy. I'm just
just make sure you stretch before the game.
That's make sure you stretch out with them groins. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Listen, if you don't go out having your escapades in the office, you might be able to be healthy, but you know how you get down. You'll be in a strip club more in a gym club.
Mm-hmm. You know that's for sure. Junior, did you you got any thoughts on this Jonnu Smith hiring? Signing.
Say that again.
Jonnu Smith, man. I know. I saw there was a little bit of back and forth there on social media with some people.
He can't block. He can't block.
Can you let this man give his Jesus? I know you want to be the life of the show every time, but let him speak.
He can't block. Let's help you, Junior.
Listen. We got the guy for strictly blocking, run blocking purposes. So let's just get that out the way. He is here for run blocking. That's all he's here for.
That's it.
That's it. Not the fact that he leads the tight ends last year in yak yards last year, and the passing game. He is here strictly for run blocking. So.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is sarcasm 101, just in case. If there's any doubt, as any screen recording out there, that is sarcasm 101.
Right. Yeah, man, but I like that. You know, we'll see what happens with him. But ultimately, I like what he brings. And now you have an offensive mind in McDaniels that can help him get open. So, you know, I'm curious to see. He's going to be our third option, fourth option at the very least. Which is a good thing, somebody that Tua can rely on, that's going to be able to get those yards after the catch. That's what this offense is about. So,
yep. So moving on from that, I hate to keep beating a dead horse, but have any of you guys heard anything new on the front with our impending free agents, Christian Wilkins, Robert Hunt, and Connor Williams?
Well, today we did get a second DT signing, and Davion Nixon. We just added Isaiah Mack. I'm not sure how that bodes for Christian Wilkins, or if those are more just depth, camp body type signings.
Developmental guys or whatever.
Or signings with the intention to develop or just to be in the rotation. I'm not exactly sure what the thoughts are there. But it is a little eyebrow raising to see them signing multiple defensive tackles. And then I don't know where this Christian Wilkins thing is going to go, man. Honestly, I feel like they want to keep him. I don't think it's over. For some reason, I just have a feeling in my gut, deep down in my gut, that they're going to try to like pull it out with Christian and last second signing type thing right before free agency starts. I just feel good about it. I don't know why.
What happened with Ogba, remember, a couple years ago? Yeah, we'll see what happens. I mean, we've talked about it ad nauseum, man. It's like I said, beating a dead horse, but you know, and as everybody knows, Chris Greer has his number. And once that what a ex player, whatever whoever player it is, passes that number, then he's like, "Hey, listen, peace out. You know, get your money, but we're not going to pay that." So
and as far as Cooper Hunt goes, we've seen multiple interior linemen get signed today. What do you guys think? You guys think that sets his market approximately? What are you thinking, Wally?
I'm curious to see how he's viewed, because to us, he's a second coming. He's a great. He has all the potential. So I'm curious to see if the league or whoever is in the sign on my side of us sees him as a top guard, because He wants all pro money type stuff, 17 mil. That's all pro money. And I'm curious to see if he's regarded like that in the league, outside of the league, in the league. Because I don't think so. I really don't. I think he has a lot of potential. And there might be a team, a GM, that sees what we've been talking about. He could be an all pro at right tackle, he could be all pro at right guard. It might pay him. But to me, he's not past $10 to $12 million. He has the potential to be the best right guard in the league, but he's never lived up to it. It's like the little engine that could that never did.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll let you guys, I'll let Junior and Chad chime in on that one.
I mean, let's be real, right? Like, I honestly feel like he's extremely talented, but I think we just have to draw the line somewhere. I'm hoping that you can get him done for about $45 million over 3 years, or let's say it's a 4 year, like $60 million. Oh. 30, you know, maybe I'm going to say 30, about 36 guaranteed. somewhere in there. Maybe you got to come up a little bit more. But some of the guaranteed money on these deals haven't been extremely high. So I think if you get in that neighborhood of about 36 to 40 million guaranteed, I think the rest of it could just be all fluff and you figure it and construct your however it needs to be in order to, you know what I mean, make it good for both sides. But I think if you get to that guaranteed money of like close to 40 million, I think you can get a deal done with Robert Hunt. But that's a lot. I mean, that's a lot.
That's a lot for a right guard. Mechanic, what do you think?
I mean, that's why they left that window open to come in for him to come back, because they probably knew what the market might be. I mean, they started off somewhere. So if he did not accept it, I'm sure they can negotiate to a point where they can meet in the middle. So I think there's a standard. And then based on what the market started, we're not too far off, possibly. Maybe that's the thinking. So, I mean, we'll see how it goes. We'll see if he can find two or three more suitors to see where his market truly might be. And if we can't match it, then it is what it is. But I don't think we're too far off based on what we saw so far. So, you know, based on what is rumored anyway. So we'll see how it goes.
I don't know. I look at the depth in the draft at that position, especially the interior offensive line. And, you know, we have, there's plenty of money that we have to dish out. And I'm just not, as much as I like Hunt, don't get me wrong, but I kind of side with Wally here. Like, he hasn't really shown it yet. Yeah, he's been good. He hasn't really been hurt. But, like, are you really going to pay that amount of money where you can probably find guys, especially with the coaching staff that we have, that you can coach up and get ready? Like, I don't want to minimize his worth to the team and what he's done, but sometimes you're at a crossroads where you got to say, oh, look, I got to allocate money somewhere else. And I think that's where we're at, not only with him, but with other players as well.
I will say this. I think, remember that their goal, I think, is to not affect the compensation pick. And maybe the numbers that they're giving is the threshold of, if we exceed that, we're going to affect our compensation. So, you know, let's keep that in mind when you know, they're negotiating.
Yeah, I mean, with the guys who they're going to bring in, I feel like they know what neighborhood and who they can operate with and what guys they can bring in without it affecting the compensatory formula. But that's predicated on them losing those guys. So if they were to somehow retain Wilkins or Hunt, then the compensatory formula doesn't come into play as much with both guys, because like you're signing guys and it can offset, and there's a whole bunch of things that go into it, playing time and all the other things. But a big portion of it, I know, is the, when you sign a guy for a certain amount of money, it could offset the loss based on how much your guy signs for. So if they're comparable in contracts, then it can kind of offset the compensation for the compensatory picks. So if you're have a Wilkins who is retained, at that point, you're only trying to factor in the Hunt part of it. You know what I'm saying? Opposed to trying to keep yourself from offsetting both guys and affecting the compensation on two guys. I think it's an easier road to navigate with, if you were to try to keep one of them, because keeping your own guys doesn't affect you in that regard.
Right. Oh, okay. That makes sense.
If I keep Wilkins, I ain't got to worry about not offsetting Wilkins by signing too many guys or doing, you know what I'm saying? You know what I mean by that? Like,
look, man, check this out. Out of the three guys in the draft, there's a lot of Robert Hunts, dog. There's a lot of Robert Hunts. No cap, no disrespect. You got BB, you got Barton, you got Cohen, you got the kid from UConn. And that's at the top of the dome. Like, there's a lot of Robert Hunts. For the low, for the fourth round low, for the fifth round low. Like, you don't got to go 17. A lot of these players out here, I'm sorry, bro. Even Christian Wilkins, man, 20-something? Nah, bro. Like, if you're going to get somebody 20-something, pay for a pick, go draft high and go get the Newton kid from Illinois, dog. And that's half the money.
You're talking about the 2 to 3 worth of players of salary you're giving to one player. Like, you could address multiple needs. But what are you going to say, though, Pinside?
No. And I agree. But to be the devil advocate, some will say, well, you know, sometimes these draft picks, you know, they coming out, they have high ratings, you can see it in the film, and maybe it takes a while for them to pan out. You know, look at Austin Jackson. I'm not saying that any of those guys are going to be Austin Jackson, but some people thought that he was a bust, and it took him a while. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, where do you draw the line? Do you rely on a guy in the draft that 50% chance he might not even be good? Or do you overpay a guy that you can get a whole, you pay one big price on this guy when you can acquire a whole bunch of other guys in the free agent? Like, they have a lot of work to do. They got to figure it out. Hopefully,
I disagree. I think when you're talking about Austin Jackson, you were asking Austin Jackson to make chicken soup with chicken shit. Pardon my French. We have.
What's your profanity?
You have the team to kind of, cover up the rookies and not having to expose them and keep the training wheels and still get production. So let's say you get a guy like a Newton, right? Or a kid, Leonard Taylor or Fisk. He's not gonna be Christian Wilkins year one, but he's gonna give you some type of production if he's paired with a player like Zach Zeidler. Because Zach Zeidler is going to help him, and you bring some veteran also to help him out. What about we might strike lightning in a bottle with these two DTs we get? Let's say we get a guard. You put him next to T-Stead. T-Stead's going to help him out.
For sure.
I mean, if T-Stead help out Lee and Mockenberg, why not get a guy with higher pedigree, and then we get better results?
Oh.
I think if we trust the coaching, we can let all these guys walk on God and Eminem and Mary had a lemon. Mary had a little lemon.
Personally, for me, my greatest fear is that in the event that we let Hunt walk, you may or may not replace Connor Williams, depending on what happens there, right? Like, you probably want to get a veteran in there because it'll take some time for a center to acclimate. So if you do draft a center or guard or guard tackle in the draft, you're plugging him at left guard at that point. I think that unless a Robert Jones is retained and brought back and he can beat out a Liam Eichenberg, I think he can. I think he's more talented. I just don't want to have Liam in my starting lineup come next season. I feel like he's good depth. He showed that he can be versatile and he can fill in a pinch. I'm just uncomfortable with him being the full-time guy overall. But if that's how it has to be and they're able to upgrade other areas of the team, and the consolation is that you have to deal with the Liam Eichenberg as a starting right guard, I don't know how I feel about that yet. I need time to process that.
No, I agree. I agree with you. And I'm the biggest Liam fan. And, you know, I have accepted that he's just more so suited for a backup role. And, you know, we'll see how that goes. Hopefully, you know. Go ahead. What were you going to say, my boy? 25? 25th?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, hear me out. Walk with me. Tell us out. We gonna say that 3.9. Take that 8.8 cap hit, whatever. We gonna send all that. We gonna say that whole 3.9. We gonna send them to the Bears for a field. He Bears. Can play anybody. The Bears.
Hey,
the
Rams, you know what? It makes Patriots. Sense. Can I tell you something? No, it makes sense with the Bears. You know why? That's close to where he played college ball.
And also, they just traded one of their guys to the Bills and picked up a pick from the Bills. They could go turn around and send us the Bills pick.
Wally. I think it was the other way around.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Yeah,
whatever.
It was the other way around.
Yeah, whatever.
Come on, you're the guru, bro. Don't make me look bad.
I don't really care about the Bills, bro. I hate the Bills. So whenever I see the Bills, I just be like, whatever. I hope they lost the trade.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, trade them to the Bills.
You're like the spy.
Liam is not going to be here past the draft. I'll tell you that much.
He's
going to get traded. He's our only valuable trade asset.
Bro, don't say that.
It is. He's the only guy that you could think. Name me a guy on the team right now you could trade right now and kind of garner something from for the cheap.
No, offensive line. Yeah, you're right.
He's the only guy. You could.
That's under contract. Yes, you're right.
Yeah, and that won't hurt. You could trade Austin Jackson right now and get. No, of course, but you don't want to do that.
And I mean, I think somebody might take Mostert. You know what I'm saying? Right situation. I'm just saying, we ain't got to go there.
Let me be quiet. I'm not gonna...
Hey, listen. So we gonna get two meals.
I'm just trying to win ball games next season, man.
Hey, like, man, listen.
Y'all know who's up in the fall, trying to see what Chris Greer about to do next.
All right, so hold on. Let's pivot a little bit because we got away from it last time. It's actually my fault. So, X, doors closed, keys been thrown away. Who's filling that CB2 role?
Cam season, baby. Let's go. Cam season. Cam season. Cam Smith. If Cam Smith not starting or pushing to be a starter, we lost that draft.
I think there's a good chance you see Cam Smith, the combination of Cam Smith and a veteran on the boundary opposite Ramsey. I think there's a great chance for that.
I would see it as a failure if Cam Smith is not playing next year. Maybe he doesn't have to start at the beginning of the season, but as he gets his sea legs, if you may, you know what I'm saying, because the Dolphin get the reference. He should be starting throughout. He has the talent. He's probably our best DB outside of Jalen Ramsey right now, talent wise.
Wally, we've seen him in camp doing like going against Waddle and Tyreek and he excelled. I feel like he has to start. He has to play some slot, boundary, whatever it takes, man. We gotta put him in there, man. We got to.
All right. So on that note, you guys brought up the fact of signing a veteran cornerback. Is anybody on you guys' radar? Have you heard anything? Any rumors or commentary of somebody that we might be going after or looking at?
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I had a list of like tight ends. I was looking for the tight end for us to upgrade tight end. I was really into Noah Fant. Jonnu Smith was not in my bingo card because I didn't think he was going to become available. So I do have free agent targets. I would love, like, Chad painted this picture of this Simmons kid and Javon Holland in the same backfield last season, and now he's actually
available. Hold on. Just make it official and put it on the record. This was spoken about by Chad last year before anybody else was thought about it, before it was brought up on social media, where that was something that he had brought up. So I got to give this man his flowers. So on that note, how much do you think that he's going to cost? Hypothetically, of course.
Chad, take the floor.
Again, we talked about Tyrann Mathieu, the Honey Badger, getting about 212. He's a veteran. I believe he's about 31 years old. I'm thinking $8 to $10 million. Honestly, should be about his market.
All right. So hold on. Wait. Put a pin in that. I'm gonna, again, another hypothetical. You know how I like those. So you're going to go and pay this guy, because I'm going to play devil's advocate. You're going to pay this guy $8 to $10 million, but you have a young guy waiting in the wings, waiting to get paid. Are we going to have another X situation with Byron Jones?
You possibly could. They may not necessarily go in that particular direction, but I mean, even let's just say the fact that he's even available to me allows for us to be in an advantageous situation because the market is becoming more and more saturated with talent. So if we aren't able to swing a deal with a guy like that, I think guys like Geno Stone and Deshaun Elliott and some of these other, you know, solid pickups, I think they become a little bit more attainable for us. And at the cornerback position, man, you got guys like Ronald Darby and Sean Murphy Bunting and some of a few other guys out there that I wouldn't mind bringing in. Avante Maddox, a solid nickel corners guy released. He can maybe help out Cater on the inside. But if you can swing a deal for a guy like a Justin Simmons, I think he's a real difference maker. So, I mean, he could allow Holland to thrive and get closer to his bag on a short-term deal if the money doesn't butt heads, you know what I mean? Like, if you're able to get out of it by the time that Holland's money, like, really kicks in, then I don't think it's necessarily a big deal because you can still pay Holland and bring in, you know, a solid safety to, you know, help make this team better. So
that's what I was going to say. Like, let's just say we sign him for 2 years. Holland's money won't kick for 3 years. I mean, for 2 years, right? Because he has to play out this season, and then, well, 2 years. He has to the following year.
Correct. So, but you could come back, and being that he's going to be on the roster, you can come to him and say, "Hey, let's restructure. You get some of that money up front. Let's drop that."
Exactly. It's no big deal. So it won't be like it's not the Byron Jones because we overpaid Byron Jones. That was a terrible signing. That's Chris Greer's worst deal. That's his worst deal. So I don't think if you tell me that we lost Christian Wilkins and Jerome Baker and we came back with Arfenius Jennings, Simmons, Al Shazier, and a couple filling guys, I'm good to go. And you gave me like a veteran defensive back, I'm good. Strength in numbers, man.
Yeah.
Strength in numbers.
Go ahead, Junior. What do you think?
Simmons is a guy I definitely would want to get. I don't know if it will affect anything. I think you're getting him at his value. It's cheap. And I think you're right what Chad said. It's going to allow Holland to be more flexible. He can be that interchangeable star. If Ramsey is not the guy, he has a special assignment in guarding someone. Now you have a star in Holland that can be that replacement, and then you have Simmons in that backfield that can do the job. So he really strengthens the defense. And then you can acquire young talent that can learn behind him in the draft, maybe undrafted. We've seen to always get a lot of undrafted guys that really come out and do well for us. So I have confidence in Greer that he will find somebody to be behind him. You know what I'm saying? Or they can acquire more picks to, you know, whatever. However they acquire somebody. But I like the idea of having Simmons here. Nothing wrong with Deshaun Elliott, but I think Simmons is definitely an upgrade.
There's a lot of wrong with Deshaun Elliott. There's a lot of wrong with Deshaun Elliott.
Hold on a second. I respectfully disagree, but I agree Simmons is better. And I would rather Simmons than Elliott, to be honest.
No, 100%. Now, a smaller move was made today, and I think we retained Elijah Campbell, which I think strengthens or you know, I like that move as well. It helps with the special teams, correct. And also, I mean, you know, at some point, and we've talked about this a million times, Weaver's philosophy that they're going to play a lot of three high safety. So, you know, could it be him? I don't know. Maybe they keep both Elliott and bring in another guy. I don't know. We'll soon find out. I mean, it's all going to start next week, Wednesday. So
he flies. So look, let's just say right now, as we sit, we have him and Ethan Bonner as our special team gunners type stuff. That's not a bad start for our special team. It's a lot of potential guys that you've seen play in the NFL and at the highest moment and be somewhat of, dependable. And that's what special team. That's a good start. That gives me more confidence in Dan Crossman's staff. Even if it's just that, yeah.
I think Elliott does well when he was called upon too, man. He flashed in when he
Oh my god, bro.
Yeah, we know.
I'm sorry, not Elliott. I'm talking about Campbell.
Campbell, correct.
Okay,
Campbell.
Okay.
But Elliott flashed too. I will not. Let's not.
What is this Elliott love affair?
That's beside the point. Let's Euro step.
I mean, there's. I heard Buffalo Bills fans in this space yesterday talking about bringing in Deshaun Elliott. Like, really? You may not be high on him, but I mean, yeah. People.
I think honestly,
you're still holding a grudge about what he said about wanting to bring in Lamar Jackson. Yes, you're overlooking what he did on the field to hold that.
100%, 150%. Yes,
not 150.
150.
Wow.
All the percents. I saw the tweet. I would never forget.
Jeez. Talk about
terrible tweet.
There was some talk about holding grudges with Tyreek and whatever with that little news conference.
I hold grudges.
Okay, Don, I was about to say this man here holds grudges for sure.
Please,
I want to get into this conversation. Was he talking about Tua or was he talking about? My
God. We don't know. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to bring. I had to. It was more like an indictment on Wally. I wasn't going to bring up that.
You want me to talk? You want me to say the truth? The truth is, Tyreek talks. First of all, Tyreek doesn't speak for the wide receiver room, right? Tyreek only speak about himself or how he feels, right? Like Patty Mahomes, that's cool, bro. But that's not how Tua leads. And I mean, that's not, it doesn't mean it's a negative, it's a bad thing. He understands what he has as a leader. Sometimes you wish your leader would do something, but like, then you see something he does, you'd be like, hey, man, I never seen Patty did that. So you got to take the good with the bad. I think people are over exaggerating the what he said once again, because that's what Dolphin fans do. You know what we should do? Turn them back to Kansas City. You know what he said at the end? We're better than Kansas City. So why are they talking about that? Well, I ain't talking about that. No, they want to talk about Tua because it's polarized. It's just clickbait, man. It's just a talking point.
I want zero parts of this conversation.
That's okay.
I'm just asking questions. That's
yeah, listen, it's just part of the. That's why it's called the conversation. It's just the topic, and you chime in. You don't chime in. That's fine. I think it's just nothing. I don't want to curse on live here, but it's just people are just twisting words, and you know, for whatever narrative they want, because. I've seen so much stuff, you know, on the timeline and on social media about what people think or they perceive what, you know, Tyreek is talking about. People have no clue. They're just going to run with it and, you know, push their narrative. So, that's it for that for me. Anyways, I mean, I really don't have any much more to add to that.
Hey, man, quick question. I've seen, I don't know if you guys have been looking around and seen that Latu talking about draft prospect, he's been dropping a few questions about the kid. And to me, I'm like, hold up. Let that drop the 21 right fast. You know what I'm saying? Let that drop the 21 right fast. You put that, what? You put that with Weaver? You going to tell me that Weaver's not going to get the best out of that kid? We just hired Weaver out what he does. You imagine Latu dropping right there to 21? I'm running. I'm running to a podium.
Problem that kind of was put out there was him going against better tackles in that.
But when I said this about Fisk, it was all good. When I said about other guys, losing,
when did you say anything?
Yes, I don't. Yes, I remember when I was talking to you guys about the Richardson kid from Missouri, the homie from Texas, Sweat Murphy. He was losing reps, and then we found out.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
And then we found out he had a messed up ankle.
Yes, you're right.
That's the same thing I said about Latu. Latu was doing the same thing, and then Booker, this kid from Kansas, he was losing and winning reps. It happens. If you go against talent, you're going to lose reps. And I ain't going to lie to you. The tackle class is really, really good. You're going to sit back and go back and be like, bro, Even that kid Powell in Houston is going to come out and be a good, solid prospect. So that's not. I don't think it's. I don't think it's that is a. Is a thing on the kid. I don't think it's. I think it's a bad judgment call.
Yeah, like maybe Jordan Morgan and Fuaga and some of these guys that he's going up against. Maybe they're just, really good. Maybe they're good. Maybe they're really. Maybe they're the real deal. And you know he didn't win reps against them. But it is concerning because we've had conversations about certain other players on the team who don't rise up to the occasion. So you want guys who are going to be able to rise up to the equation and thrive against that upper echelon competition. But at the same time, I don't need him to come in and be no star. I best right now, I need you to be a rotational guy. So
we're going to need him.
Give me 4 to 5 sacks.
I mean,
stay healthy. That's all I need.
And that's, I mean, that's if the Dolphins even take a guy like that. They could very well go and take a guy like a Darius Robinson or go in a completely different, you know, direction there at that pick. But I'm not too low on the kid, but I could understand the argument that's being made that, you know, against those top end tackles that he faced, he didn't really do well against them. So.
But check this out though. We have to, obviously we know the story. Chubb and Phillips are gonna be out in the beginning of the season. They're not going to be up to speed probably until what, October or so, maybe midway October. So and AVG, we don't know if he's coming back. Hopefully he does. That's somebody that I think that we have to resign. I'd like to resign, but you're going to need to get another to be able to, you know, put that in there. Now, if you lose, hypothetically speaking, we lose Wilkins, that's a lot of sacks that we're missing in the beginning of the season. So
that's 35 sacks. Top,
now, that's what I'm saying. So we got to be able to.
I think AVG will be back. He's still working out in the facility. He'll be back.
I hope so.
But I get what Coach is saying. You have to make.
But yes, it's valid. You got to replace those sacks that you're losing, especially initially for the early part of the season. You're not the full force of Jalen Phillips and Bradley Chubb. Even if I think Phillips might be ready earlier, but even then, you don't know what he's going to be and how effective he'll be.
And look, Chris Greer is a smart businessman. This is why I have two picks happening in the first round or in the second round. Your guard tackle to replace T-Stead and your pass rusher to potentially replace Chubb and pairing him with Jalen Phillips. We did the same. We're trying to do the same thing with Eazy-E and maybe get a third option. So you never like Chris Greer and Mike, they be thinking ahead. So it's like it's not a chalkboard a draft. You don't know if it's going to be him. It might be Jared Verse if he drops. Bro, Jared Verse is a monster. It might be Chop, and Chop is another monster. But I'm more scared of Chop than I am of Latu.
I can agree with that. I agree.
Well, when you say scared, what do you mean by scared?
He's too raw.
Pause. Yeah, but he gives me the Charles Robinson, the Deion Jordans, the Ziggy Ansah. Like nah, bro, nah. Nah. If people are scared of drafting Brian Thomas, they should be scared of taking Chop.
Yeah. For me, I don't even think a Brian Thomas will be there. I don't think a Fontenot will be there. I think a lot of guys will be gone. I think we're gonna be picking, and hopefully, at one of those guys that we don't think can fall to us, it happens to just be there, and it just makes things real simple for them. Like you know, but yes, hey, sir.
Shout out to Cap for Life. Thanks for watching us, man. Appreciate you. Anyway, so, I mean, we're going to have options, man. We know that. I've been looking at all these mock drafts from different people. You know, you don't really want to watch one person. You want to get everybody's opinion and see where less. And it all seems to be falling a certain way. You know, there's always that outlier where somebody's going to reach for a player. You know, somebody's going to see this Xavier, what is it, Thomas, the guy that ran, that broke the 40.
Xavier Worthy,
right, not Thomas Worthy, my bad.
He's a freshman kid too, man. He's fast, man. They're a track star.
No, yeah, but yeah. Somebody's going to reach for him, you know what I mean? Or I'm not saying that he's not worthy of the pick, but there's going to be players that are going to be
picking him up. Hey, you know, you never know.
I don't know, but he might be a Chiefs. I know he might be a Chiefs, I'll tell you that much. He won't get past the Chiefs. Chiefs are watching, they need speed.
I think all these guys are risk, bro. All these graphics are risk. That's why I think you got to go through the process and just set yourself up to be able to take a good player and put them in an environment that cultivates success. And I don't think you can necessarily go into it trying to pinpoint a particular position of need and pegging that player in as a fix it for that option. I think you got to go into the free agency with trying to address everything that you can to put yourself in position to get a good player in the draft, and then you bring him into the fold and you run with him and let him just flourish at whatever position, wide receiver, O-line, D-line, corner, whatever you get, you know what I mean? But you want to have him come into a place where he can be successful, and I think that's all that matters because you want to hit on that draft day. People are so, oh, he's got to get an O-line, go get an O-line. Bro, I'm not – listen, go give me someone who's good, who fits your vision, that you have a plan to develop. I don't care what position it is, honestly, but we all have our preferences, of course.
No, I'm with you because I don't want to get caught, and I'm sure you guys kind of agree with this sentiment, is that you don't want to get boxed in and said, you know, I have to draft a guard. I have to draft this. I mean, I've always been one that supports drafting best player available. I know that we have needs, obviously. You know, we're not going to draft a quarterback first, obviously. But, you know, there's certain – I don't know. I mean, there's obvious holes that we need to fill, whether it be in free agency or, you know, through the draft. So we'll see how that works. It's going to be exciting. That's for sure.
Hey, I have a fan question from Manil that says, can Liam be the next AJ? I'm gonna ask Mechanic to take this question.
Please.
You know,
wait. Let me give him the floor. Hold on.
Give him the whole thing. There you go.
Wait. Hold on. All right, it's all you.
Yes.
So your answer? That's it? Yes.
Can I just share my thoughts on that question by Anil? Anil, that is very nasty.
I'll give you the floor. Go ahead, Chad. I'll give you the floor.
But to say that he can't be the next Liam, I think is a statement I'm not going to make. I do not believe he belongs on the roster. But
wow.
But maybe there's a 0.00007% chance that he could pan out and become a guy that we could, you know, maybe extend. But right now.
What kind of probability is that?
I know. What kind of math is that, bro?
I'm being real. I'm not Meichenberg and his potential.
Wow, bro.
I got too many scars, bro. Too many scars. I watched this guy get thrown across the field too many times. I watched him ole too many blocks, bro.
Didn't he get yelled at by Mostert or something?
Yeah, bro. I need to see better before I'm not willing to commit. But yeah, there's a chance. I think it's a very small chance, in my personal opinion.
Yeah,
for sure. Anybody could.
It's not so much a question, but it's a statement. You got the West Coast Grind and said,
"I put him in the bucket with Channing Tindall right now. I think he has about just as good a chance as Channing Tindall paying it
out."
Wow! Oh, whoa! See, that's cap. See, I was gonna let you say all that about Liam. You didn't have to mention my dog. Tindall season.
I think Tindall has a chance, just like Liam does.
No.
Were you going to say that you think Tindall has a better chance to become something than Liam does?
Yes, because I've seen Liam get mollywhopped at every position. Maybe he's tried it, and he still has potential to do it. He's got a mollywhopped at center, got a mollywhopped at left guard, got a mollywhopped at his best position, which is right guard. So what are we talking about, son?
Hey, money-making Mitch. Appreciate that comment. You don't keep a good player from you don't let that keep you from drafting a great one.
Correct. Hey, shout out. Listen, thanks to Mitch. Thanks for tuning in. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast. Hit that bell on YouTube. I know you're watching on YouTube. Appreciate the support.
But yeah, man, no, I don't think Neil's gonna make an AJ jump at a peak. AJ was literally the best right tackle in the league last year. Literally. Don't question.
Come on, bro.
Don't question me. The numbers don't lie. Zero sacks. It was him and Lane. I don't want
to
talk
Listen,
about
bro,
it.
Listen, bro. You know what? I'm getting sick of this. I'm gonna talk to Richmond. I'm gonna get Richmond Webb back on the show.
Yo, whatever.
To make sure so he can clarify his comments.
Do what you gotta do.
We're out of control.
I don't care. He shows them recording.
We're out of control. I'm sorry.
He shows them recording. Let me ask you a question. Where's there not a point where my man's Austin Jackson had given up zero sacks, just like Lane Johnson?
Look. We got, look, top, Reggie. Top look at
five,
Reggie.
Top five.
Look
top
at Reggie. Five. Okay, five, but you said the best.
The best right tackle, him, it was him and Lane Johnson.
Him oh, Lane. Now you, not, wait. I know everybody here remembers the conversations. You said that he was better than Lane Johnson last
That's
year.
That's right. He was playing better than Lane Johnson. That's
wow.
Right. Top five. Hey, man. Tate don't lie.
He didn't finish strong, though. I will say that.
He didn't.
He needs to validate that deal. You were a rookie who didn't pan out. You needed to show something. Now you showed something. You got paid. Now I need you to validate that contract and continue to take those next steps in your growth and development, man. It's not, you know, get in the bag with this a step in the journey. It wasn't the end of the journey. You got to continue to push, continue to grind, continue to get better and harness your technique and stay healthy. And I like Austin Jackson's potential, though. I think he's still young, too, man. He's still young.
He took a dip once Robert Hunt got hurt. That's a big, big factor to that.
That's fair.
That is fair.
Top five.
So anyways, let's wrap it up. Guys, thanks to everybody for watching. It's been a pleasure. We love bringing you this content. Make sure you tune in. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Instagram, on Facebook, on YouTube. Subscribe, like, turn on those notifications. We're going to be bringing you a lot of stuff. It is getting closer and closer to the league, the opening of the league year, and it's going to be bananas. There's going to be a lot of fireworks. Let's see what happens.
That Ramsey extension, that Tyreek extension. You see, that's five.
I got five on it. On that note,
wait, tell the people how the business is coming your way.